I love this subject we're going to talk about today. And as we approach this subject, I want us to be aware and remind you that there are various laws that operate in the universe, and there's laws that operate not only naturally, but there are spiritual laws that operate. Can everybody agree with me? There are spiritual laws, and there are natural laws. And I want to tell you something. Every one of those laws, be it spiritual or natural, affect every one of us in some way. We know that these spiritual laws work for our good, but how many knows if we break those, then it works for our bad? Natural laws work for our good, but if we break those, how many knows? You take a man that decides that he's going to step out of a fourth story window into thin air. How many knows that? I'm thinking about this. I want to make sure I say it right. That he doesn't break the law of gravity. The law of gravity breaks him. You know, I remember saying, we've heard it before, well, you know, if I fall off this stage, then the law of gravity, I broke the law of gravity. No, the law of gravity keeps me placed. The law of gravity keeps you on those chairs today. The law of gravity is not what breaks, he breaks the law of gravity, and then gravity breaks him. And so this is one of the universal laws that, you know, that we all know about, but how many knows there are spiritual laws? And I want to talk about that this morning. And one of the first places I want to go is to the book of Matthew. So if you would open your books, your Bibles, your devices, whatever it is, that, or look on the screen to Matthew chapter 23. We're going to talk this morning about overcoming the spirit of pride. Woo! We're going to have to do some self-examination this morning, aren't we? Overcome. You say, I don't have pride. Well, you're probably the one I'm preaching to. I've never had a problem with pride. I know everything. Well, you're the one I'm talking to today, because we all have had to deal with pride in some way or another. And so in Matthew chapter 23, verse 12, Jesus is speaking. Here he says, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Y'all see that, don't you? Exalt yourself, you're going to be humbled. Humble yourself, you're going to be exalted. So Jesus is quoting this scripture, or he's saying this verse, but he also says it two more times in the Gospels. It's repeated almost word for word, and this verse relates to humility and pride. It relates to that. That's a universal law. It is a universal law that some are breaking, and some of them it's breaking you. So let's talk about that this morning. I like to say it like this. The way up is down, and the way down is up. The way up is down. You go apply for a job, and you apply to be the CEO of that place, and you haven't even ever worked there and have any experience. How many knows you ain't going to get started? They're not going to start you at the top. They might start you in the lower part cleaning bathrooms, and then you work your way up. And so the law is the way up is down and the way down is up. Now, that's kind of a reversal. Jesus kind of had this grand reversal ministry, didn't he? If you want to live, you got to die. If you want to go up, you got to go down. If you want more, you got to give. That's the law of Jesus is everything is kind of what we call the reversal ministry. The way to greatness is humility and service. That's what the way to authority is to be a servant. That's the kingdom principles in the New Testament. I remember years ago, Bonnie, when we were in that little bitty tiny church on Maple Street, and Bonnie used to clean the church every week. She would get down on her hands and knees, and she would scrub those filthy little bathrooms. Those bathrooms weren't much bigger than that speaker right there. They were tiny. Well, maybe a little bit bigger. But in those days, we had these little gas heaters that had little flames coming up through them, and it was all metal. It was a metal gas heater, and it stood about this high. Well, for some reason, the little boys liked to go in there, and they didn't know what the commode was, but they loved to see it steam when they hit the little hot stove. Huh? Do you think it smelled? Bonnie, you remember, don't you, Bonnie? Because she'd say, I don't know why these guys can't hit the hole. Why they always have to go on the gas heater? But she never complained about her job. She started at the bottom. And now she's the vice president of Solid Rock Fellowship Incorporated. She's been our vice president for many, many years. And I want you to know the way up is down. She didn't complain about cleaning those bathrooms. Little Sarah works around here. I checked the cameras the other night at 3 o'clock in the morning. Guess who was in here with the lights on cleaning the church? Little Sarah. Thank God. The way up is down. And the way down is up. Amen. Did I say it right? Okay, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Now, I want you to notice something about that verse. It is our responsibility to humble us. I've heard people pray, say, God, humble them. Get them on their knees. Make them fall to their feet. But you know what? The Bible says that we are to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. He places the responsibility on you to humble yourself. Selah. Stop and think about that for a minute today. So we're going to talk about breaking the spirit of pride, but let's go back to the original pride. Let's go way back before human history. Let's go back before man was made. Let's go back before the human race had not come upon the face of the earth yet. We're going to go back to the very first sin. If I were to ask somebody today, before I made that statement, what was the first sin? Some of you would have said, well, it was murder, because Cain killed Abel. That had to be the first sin. That was the first sin on the earth. But I'm going to tell you something. There was another sin that was committed eons before that. If I say, ask you, what is the first sin? I'm going to tell you, it's not drunkenness. It's not immorality. It's not murder. The first sin committed was the sin of pride. And it's still with us today, isn't it? The first sin that took place, not on earth, but took place in heaven. It was committed by an angel, not by a man. I mean, we're going back a long time. Amen? Now listen to this. Pride was the inner cause that led to an outer act of rebellion against Almighty God. Pride. And guess what? He's still with us today. Overcoming the spirit of pride. We could also just slash and put haughtiness on there as well, couldn't we? Overcoming the spirit of pride and haughtiness. Let me give you some of the manifestations and the symptoms. Remember now, these are the works of the flesh. These are all works of the flesh that are imposed upon us by that spirit of pride. Here we go. Number one, obstinate. Now, please don't elbow your neighbor, okay? And please don't point at somebody on the other side of the church. Just keep it. Let's do some own self-examination this morning. Symptoms, obstinate, boastful, idleness, scornful, self-righteous, contentions, self-deception, rejection of God. An example, I can do much better than that. Well, I could pastor that church better than Pastor Rhodes. You know what? You might be right about that. The only difference is God called me instead of you. Amen? He called me to be the pastor. He anointed me to be the pastor. You may have more knowledge of the word. I'm sure Dr. Sue knows the word much, much more than I do. But he didn't say, I have to know everything to be the pastor. He just said, let me anoint you, and you let me use you. And so some people have this attitude, well, I could do better than that. That's a spirit of pride working through you. Well, I could do a better job than them, and I'm not just talking about pastoring anything. I could do better. Maybe you can. But to brag about it and be boastful is operating in a spirit of pride. And that pride was the original sin. That's the thing that we got to deal with today. Amen. Well, I'm much better. I know much more. I could do much better. My way is better. You ever heard that before? Now, sometimes in leadership positions, you make a decision and you stick with it, but then other people say, well, you're very proud and you're very boastful because you won't do it my way. Listen, if we open this church up for everybody to do it their way, how many knows it would be total chaos? And I can tell you some churches that's done that in the past, and there's not a whole lot of unity in those churches. Come on, somebody shout amen. Now, how many knows that pride is something that we usually notice in somebody else first? Not me. Boy, I can sure see it in Jumble-dee-dee-dee-bo. I didn't call your name, but if that's you, sorry. We don't think we're capable of walking in pride. We don't think pride has a foothold in our lives. until we fall spiritually. And I'm going to tell you something, we will fall eventually if we continue to walk in pride. I'll give you the verse for that in just a minute. But pride comes in many disguises. It comes to entrap us, and here's what pride does. It offers status, offers spiritual experiences that nobody else has had. Hello? Think about it. Have you ever talked to somebody that, you know, that you tell them something and they got something bigger and better, and then you feel like, am I in competition or something? I'm just trying to tell you what God's done for me. Well, God healed my toe. Well, God healed me of cancer. If you're not careful, you can step over into pride. You can open the door to pride, and the enemy will come in, and you are headed for a fall. Good preaching, Pastor Rhodes. I'm going to tell you something. There's a humbling process, but it's initiated by us. And usually, it's after we have fallen. Amen? Say this with me. Pride is my greatest enemy. And humility is my greatest friend. I want to read to you from Acts chapter 12 this morning. You're welcome to turn in your Bibles to verse 21, 22, and 23. I am going to read from the Amplified Version this morning because there's a few words in there I want us to see compared to the King James Version. It doesn't change the story. It just maybe adds a little color or just amplifies some of the Greek words. Acts chapter 12. On an appointed day, Herod arrayed himself in his royal robes, took his seat upon his throne. He addressed an oration to them, and the assembled people shouted, "It is the voice of a God and not of a man." And at once the angel of the Lord smote him and cut him down, because he did not give God the glory, the preeminence, and the kingly majesty that belonged to him as the supreme ruler, and he was eaten by worms and died. Listen, when people start bragging on you, be careful about taking it all in. Don't believe everything. You know, we say this in the negative. I don't believe everything people say about me. But you know what? If they start saying good things, you better be careful you don't believe everything they say about you. And that. Nobody speaks evil of me. They all speak good of me. Beware. Beware. Daniel chapter 4, please. Daniel chapter 4. I'm taking you through the Bible today. Daniel chapter 4, verse 29, and we're going to read a lot of verses there. We're going to go all the way down to verse 37, so follow us in your device, your Bible, or on the screen. A lot of verses, and there's some good preaching in these verses. At the end of 12 months, Nebuchadnezzar was walking in the royal palace of Babylon. He said, "Is not this the great Babylon that I have built as the royal residence and seat of government, by the might of my power, and for the honor and glory of my majesty?" How many thinks you know where this one's headed? While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among from the men, and your dwelling within the living with the living creatures of the field. Your dwelling will be with the living creatures of the field. You will be made to eat grass like the oxen, and seven times or years shall pass over you until you've learned and you know that the Most High God rules in the kingdom, and that God gives it to whoever he wills." That very hour, the thing that was being fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, he was driven from among the men. He did eat grass like the oxen, as Daniel had said, and he grew like eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. And at the end of the 7 years, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes. Kind of a slow learner, right? 7 years. At the end of 7 years, I lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding and the right use of my mind returned to me. And I was and I blessed the Lord, the Most High God, and I praised him, and I honored him, and I glorified him who lives forever. whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. And he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what in the world are you doing? Now, at the same time, my reason and understanding returned to me. The glory of my kingdom and majesty and splendor returned to me. And my counselors and my Lord sought me out. I was reestablished in my kingdom, and still more greatness than ever before was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor, the King of heavens, whose works are all faithful and right, and whose ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to abase and humble. Woo, what a verse of scripture. I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd like to live for 7 years in a field, eat grass, and grow claws like a bird. Come on now. That's what pride does for you. That's what pride does. How many knows he was puffed up? Lucifer, puffed up in pride. Remember, we said we're going to go back to the original sin. Let's go to Isaiah 14. Because Lucifer, as an angel, said 5 times, I will do this, and I will do that, and I will do this, and I will do that, and I will do this. And God said, we'll see who's doing things around here. We'll see who's in control of this place. I will be like the Most High. Let's read Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17. I don't think you have 16 and 17. I have one. But thank you anyway, Chuck. Verse 13. By the way, Chuck, that wasn't my idea to hide the water. That was Nick's job. We don't want the camera seeing the bottles of water. Verse 13. And you said in your heart, talking of Lucifer, I will ascend to heaven and I will exalt my throne. He didn't even have a throne. What do you mean I'm going to exalt my throne above the stars of God? And I will sit upon the mount of assembly in the uttermost north. And I will ascend to the heights of the clouds. And I will make myself like the Most High. And then verse 15 goes on and says, instead you will be brought down to the place of the dead, down to the lowest depths. Everyone there will stare at you and say, can this be the one who shook the earth and made the kingdom of the world to tremble? Is this the one who destroyed the world and made it into a wasteland? Is this the king who demolished the world's greatest cities and had no mercy on his prisoners? That's Isaiah 14, 15, 16, and 17. How many know Satan had an eye problem? I will, I will, I will. But listen, he also had an eye problem because he saw himself greater than God. He saw himself rising up in a higher place than the creator that made him. Hello? He forgot that it was God that created him. It was God that made him and gave him all of his talents and all of his abilities. He was not about to be a man. A self-made musician. God gave him all the talent that he had. Amen. He gave him all the abilities that he had. But he got puffed up in pride over his greatness, and God stripped him. I'm telling you, you know what? There is still a powerful thief and a powerful robber that's running in the world today, and it's called pride. See if anybody, tell me who wrote this song, I Did It My Way. Good. Frank Sinatra. I Did It My Way. Would you all like to hear a rendition of it? Well, you're not going to. But the song talks about what I did, and I did this, and I did that, and I was just listening to it the other day, and I thought, you know what? That'll fit in here real good. I did it my way, said Frank Sinatra and everybody else that thinks they can sing. I did it my way. I'm self-made. I'm a self-made millionaire. I'm a self-made musician. I'm a self-made talented person. All that sounds really cool, you know. Sounds cool. It sounds like it's modern, you know, and it's independent. But if you look beneath the surface of that, it reeks with pride. Because you know what? You can't do anything by yourself. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I don't even say anything until I hear what the Father tells me. I speak what the Father says. I of my own self can do nothing. Who do you think you are? Who do we think we are? Come on. We get, you know, pride is an over exaggerated opinion of ourselves. That's what pride is. And over, I think we ought to believe in ourselves. I think we ought to know who we are in Christ. I think we ought to, you know, say, you know, if I put my hand to something, I'm going to do the best I can. But I'll tell you something. You better give God the glory who give you the brains, the muscle, and the intellect, and the strength to do what you're doing. Amen. Self-made. When you say I'm a self-made, you are deleting the Creator out of your life. Nobody's self-made. God's the one that gives you the strength. God's the one that gives you the wisdom. Nobody's self-made. But who do you where do you think you came from? You didn't birth yourself. I'm self-made? I don't think so. Even when you was a baby, you couldn't even change your own diapers. Somebody had to do it for you. Don't tell us how great you are because you were raised just like everybody else was. Okay, this is not going over as good as I thought it would. Really gets quiet, you know, when you start preaching the truth and stepping on toes, right? Let's look at a story in Isaiah chapter 38. Here's a man that we read about and we use this as a testimony a lot of times, but I want us to see what's behind the story. Isaiah 38, verses 1 through 6. Isaiah 38, 1 through 6. In those days, King Hezekiah of Judah became ill and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, "Remember now, Lord, I beseech you how I've walked before you in faithfulness and in truth with a whole heart, absolutely directed, devoted to you. And you've done and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah saying, "Go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, and behold, I will add to your life 15 years, and I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city, Jerusalem." Now, we read that, but we don't know the background of that. That's why you always interpret Scripture with Scripture. If you're trying to prove a point, don't just give me one little line out of some chapter and verse. You have to interpret word with word. And so let's go back and look at the background of this verse of Scripture here. It's found in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. There's more to the story than what we just read. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, we're going to see what lies behind this story of this healing and why he had to be healed. Look at verse 24, 2 Chronicles 32, 24. "About that time, Hezekiah became deathly ill. He prayed to the Lord, who healed him and gave him a miraculous sign. But Hezekiah did not respond appropriately to the kindness shown him and became proud." So, I hear somebody talking. Maybe I'm echoing. "So the Lord's anger came against him and against Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah humbled himself and repented of his pride, as did the people of Israel. So the Lord's anger did not fall on them during Hezekiah's lifetime." Somebody shout amen. You read one verse and we think, oh, all he did was repent and turn to the wall. Why? What did he have to repent of? For being so full of pride that I'm the king and look what I'm doing. Good preaching, Pastor Rhodes. Continue on. I believe I will. Thank you. I still believe that the enemy will try to get a stronghold in our lives. Remember, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness. Our warfare is not carnal. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're not fighting fleshly things. We are being come against by spiritual forces. And I'm telling you what, that strong man is one of those spiritual forces that if he can get inside a person, get inside a church, he will destroy that church and destroy that person. Look what pride has done to a lot of ministries. I know of some that have been completely destroyed because they got so puffed up in pride. They're the biggest church. They're the best church. They're the only church that's telling the truth. They're the only church in town that's preaching the gospel. You better be careful. Amen? I tell you what, the spirit of pride, that strong man of pride, man, he wants to trap us and wants to bring us down. Can I hear an amen? Okay, so there's been a lot of homes destroyed by pride. There's been a lot of spouses that's been destroyed by pride. There's been a lot of churches that's been destroyed by pride, and I've seen people walk in pride, and I'm thinking, you know what? They're going to fall one of these days. It won't be long because they are it. They're the only one. They're the special one. Amen. Now listen, when I say I'm in pride, how many knows I'm not talking about a group of lions that forms a culture, right? I'm not talking about a social culture of lions. I'm talking about the pride. James calls it the pride of life. The pride of life. And I'm telling you what, it will bring you down quicker than you can know. It's simply an exaggerated opinion of yourself. I'm better than him. And if I remember right, the Bible says that we ought to look on everybody else as better than ourselves. Amen. That's not putting yourself down in a sense that I'm a nobody. It's just saying, you know what? I see good things in you. I see things in you that I don't have in myself. Amen. Would you allow me to read some scripture to you this morning? After all, we are in church, right? 1 Peter 5:5. I'm going to go through these pretty fast, and maybe you just ought to jot them down. 1 Peter 5:5 says, in the same way, when you are younger, you must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes or resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 29:1. He who being often reproved hardens his neck, and shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Daniel 5:20. But when his heart and mind were hardened in pride, God removed him from his royal throne and took away his glory. That's the one we read about Nebuchadnezzar. Ezekiel 16, you ask somebody today, what was the sin of Sodom? A lot of people would say, well, it was homosexuality. Listen to what the prophet Ezekiel says. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. Number one, pride. Everybody say pride. How many knows what the middle word of pride is? The middle letter. I. P-R-I-D-E. Pride. Fullness of bread. Abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. That, my friend, tells me what the fall and the iniquity of Sodom was. Proverbs 3:34. He will humiliate those who make fun of others, but he is kind to those who are humble. You better be careful about putting other people down, making fun of others. You know what? I stand up here once in a while, and I know that every once in a while I lose my thoughts. And that happened when I was young. That didn't happen when I got older. But, you know, please don't make fun of me just because I lose my thoughts once in a while, okay? I do lose my thoughts. And sometimes I'll get ready to say something like, oh, forgot what that was. But that's okay. It's not that I'm, you know, dementia. It's just that I've got so much in there that it's hard to sort it all out sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? Sure you do. Yeah. That's one of those sympathetic amens, okay? He will humiliate those who make fun of others. Bullying. But he is kind to those who are humble. Proverbs 29:8. Proud people who laugh at what is right causes problems that divide whole cities. But people who are wise are able to calm those who are angry. Proverbs 6:16-17. These six things does the Lord hate, and indeed seven are an abomination to him. A proud look. That's the spirit that makes one overestimate himself, right? And underestimate others. A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. And we know there's some more, but that's just all I put in this particular passage. Because I want you to see that pride was the number one thing. A proud look. Amen. Overestimates himself, underestimates others. Well, I could do a better job than that. Why does he even get up there and try? Proverbs 13:10. By pride and insolence comes only contention, but with The well-advised is skillful and godly wisdom. Jeremiah 49:16, speaking of Edom, you have been delivered by the fear you inspire in others. You have been deceived, I'm sorry. You have been deceived by the fear you inspire in others. And by your own pride, you live in a rock fortress and control the mountain heights. But even if you make your nest among the peaks with the eagles, I will bring you crashing down, says the Lord. Sounds to me like he's not too thrilled about people in pride. Psalms 10:4. Am I boring anybody? Okay, just checking. Psalms 10:4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not at all in his thoughts. There's the rejection of God. Proverbs 28:5. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Some of y'all really put your faith in the Lord. Isaiah 16:6. We have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud, even of his haughtiness and his pride and his wrath, but his lies shall not be so. Isaiah 2:11. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, I have rejected thee from being the king. I mean, Saul was puffed up with a lot of pride. Saul had all kinds of pride, and he would proclaim what he's going to do and how great he was. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'm going to close here in just a second, but I want you to know this is an area that everybody has to fight with. And I think it would be good for us this morning to pray and ask God to forgive us for, you say, well, I've not done anything in pride. Every one of us have dealt in pride. And I think it'd be good this morning for us to repent of that and ask the Lord to forgive us, and let's start out of here today with a clean slate, amen? I want the worship team to come up here if you would, please. I got a few more scripture I want to read to you as they're coming, as they come. When we think we are capable of running our lives apart from the constant communication with God, like Darlene was speaking about earlier, we open the door for the strong man of pride. Do we have 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6? Are you keeping up with me, Brother Wesley? Thank you. No? Okay. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject to one another, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due season, in due time. I want to tell you something. God's not afraid to exalt us. God's not afraid to build you up, amen? But he wants us to be ready for it. How many of some people get built up a little too soon, and it goes to their head, amen? I'm sure some of you are thinking of some things right now that would probably be a pretty good illustration for what we're talking about. But let's don't walk out of here pointing fingers. Let's walk out of here cleansing ourselves from all that stuff. Amen? God does want to build us up in his way. Amen. Eye has not seen, ears not heard what's been prepared for them who love him. James 4:10 from the Amplified. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. He will exalt you, he will lift you up, and he will make your life significant. In other words, you don't have to do it. You don't have to brag about all of your promotions. You don't have to brag about, you know, how many pair of shoes you got in your closet. You don't have to brag about how beautiful you are and how great you are. Let God do the building up. Amen? Let God do the building up. God's promotion is much sweeter than self-promotion. Dara, I've given you a few things to write out this morning. Did you get them? Okay. God's promotion is much better than self-promotion. Do you know the Bible says we've all come short of the glory of God? Every one of us. We've all come short of the glory of God. That's why we had to have a Savior. Amen. If you can be critical with others and think the way you do things is always better, then you have a problem with pride. If you can be critical with others and think the way you do things is always better, then you have the problem with pride. Amen. Pride is a self-destructive spirit. It will bring deception. It will hurt, embarrass, and destroy you. Listen to this. Unchastity, anger, greed, drunkenness, and all that are mere flea bites in comparison to the pride that the devil brings to us. Pride leads to every other vice. It is pride which has been the chief cause of misery in every nation and in every family since the world began. When Uzziah became king of Judah, at the age of 16, the Bible says he set his heart to seek God and to put himself under the spiritual mentorship of Zechariah. And as long, this is 2 Chronicles, as long as he sought the Lord, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As the result, he acquired wealth, he became politically and militarily powerful, and then things changed. 2 Chronicles 26 and 15, his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his own destruction. Let's just stand up this morning. We're going to make this little. We're going to call this a short prayer, but we want it to mean something to us this morning. So if you would just stand to your feet, because I think we just all probably need to ask for forgiveness. Pride could be in us, and may not even know it. May not even be aware of it. Maybe it only surfaces 2 or 3 times a year, but it'll still bring us down. Philippians 4. Do we have this one, Wesley? Okay, Philippians 4, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11, and then we'll pray. Talking of Jesus. He being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself. We talked about this Thursday night, Luke, at the men's meeting. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Because of that, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. So this morning, let's begin by asking forgiveness. Let's just ask the Lord, you know, I want to be sorry for my sins, Lord. I want to be sorry for that sin of pride. God, I've recognized it, and I don't operate it in all the time, but there's times, Lord, that thing jumps up and it embarrasses me. So say this with me this morning. Come on, bow your head, close your eyes. Say this with me out loud together. Let's just do this in unison today. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I see that I've not allowed you to reign supreme in my life. Forgive me for this sin. I humbly bow before you. I come before you with a contrite heart. And I'm asking you to make something beautiful out of my life. Now, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I bind that haughty spirit of pride. And according to Matthew 18 and 18, whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. I recognize you are a thief and a robber, and I refuse to allow you to continue to lead me away from God's will in my life. Thank you, Father, for your forgiveness. And according to Matthew 18 and 18, whatsoever I loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
I release a humble spirit, a spirit of holiness, to lead me in the path that you've chosen for me to walk. Thank you, Father, for hearing and answering my prayer today. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the sin that's going to send you to hell, the refusal of receiving Jesus. It's not smoking, drinking, cursing, adultery, fornication. The sin that sends you to hell is the sin of rejection of Jesus. Would you be willing this morning to open up your heart, open up your life? Would you be willing to say, yes, I need a Savior? Would you be willing to walk down this aisle this morning and say, Pastor, I need Jesus in my life. Help me find Jesus today. If that's you this morning, would you just lift your hand up? We want to take a minute and pray for you. We don't want anybody to leave this house today not knowing personally the person of Jesus Christ. Anybody in this building today? I'm not born again. Jesus is not my Lord and Savior. I'm serving my flesh. I'm serving the enemy. But today, I give my life to Jesus. This is my day. Anybody, just quickly pick your hand up, put it back down. Anybody? If you're born again this morning and you know that your name is written down in glory, let's do what the song said earlier. I'm going to lift my voice and I'm going to praise you. Would you just let him know you're thankful? Let him know right now that you're thankful for the gift of salvation. Let him know you're thankful for that gift of salvation. You're born again on your way to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Would you be willing to leave your comfort zone this morning and just, let's just come to the front for a season of prayer before we go home today. Let's pray with our family. Let's pray with our loved ones here this morning. Just come to the front. You can make an altar up here or you can stand. You can kneel at your seat, but let's come together and let's pray this morning and let's sing that song. Sing that song as you're down here. God, I'm so caught up in your presence. Lord, I'm caught up. I'm caught up. I just want to sit. I just want to sit here and worship you. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray this morning. Oh, yes. We're just here, Lord, to worship you, to bless you. No, we're here to worship you, Lord. We've come to worship you. Come on, somebody. Lord, I'm sorry. I've come to say we're sorry. I'm sorry. Forgive us for going through the motions. Oh, we open up our hearts. Church, we open up our hearts. It's not about me, Lord. It's not about me. It's about you, Lord. Take us back. Sing it again. Sing it again, brother. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, for just going through the motions. Yes. 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 Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive us, God. We've all just gone through the motions. Forgive us. Everybody say this with me. Dear God in heaven, I recognize that I need a Savior. And I give my life to Jesus today. I lay aside the sin. I lay aside the weight. And I'm asking you, Jesus, to come into my heart today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lead me and guide me. Help me to live my life for you, Lord. I renounce the old ways. I'm sorry for making it all about me. And from this day forward, Jesus, it's all about you. My thoughts are upon you. My eyes are upon you. Father, I bless this congregation today. Father, I thank you that as we walk in the word of the Lord, we walk in your promises. We walk in your instructions that you will give the angels charge over us to protect us in all of our ways. Thank you for the leadership of the Holy Spirit on every person here today. God, help us all this coming week to make right decisions, wise choices. Help us, Lord God, to listen for the voice of God before making any major decisions. God, may we follow in the path that you've laid out for us. Lord, I pray that you'll cause your face to shine upon your people. And God, we're going to come back this next week, Lord, rejoicing in you because we know that your hand has been upon us. I pray, Father, that you would lead people across our path that we'll be able to share our faith with, people that we'll be able to build up and encourage. And Father, I thank you for those that have honored you with the tithe and the offering this morning. Whether they came to the front and put it in the buckets, whether they give it into the buckets in the back, or whether they give online, Father, I pray that because of their obedience in the tithe and offering, that you will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so great. And because of we've given, we can honestly say, my God will supply all my needs. In Jesus' name, amen.